Oh my God, I'm chilling.
What happened? Oh my God.
Oh, I just can't.
What?
Heyo. Episode 96.
Just inching our way towards 100.
God, I wish we started this 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
I know,
ago.
Why didn't we start 10 years ago? COVID? I know, I think about it a lot.
Stop.
I know.
Because we're caught up in some stupid thing.
That's true.
I don't really have anything at the top, let's be honest. Rev's telling her story.
I have one quick thing because I saw someone commented, maybe on YouTube. Well, if it's, I don't know. I don't know where I saw it. The timestamps for us to say when the actual case starts are worthless now that we have ads, just FYI. Because we don't know what ad is going to, you know, we don't know where the ad in the beginning is going to be placed or how many. So it won't mean anything.
It'll be
unless
off.
There's not one. It would be off, though. So you get it. So that's why we haven't been doing
it. And everyone's ad placement's different. Like, I seem to always have an ad at the beginning, never in the middle, like some of you.
It can differ for different people. You may not have an ad in the beginning, but your friend does. It's impossible to do the timestamp. Sorry. But it's always pretty quick.
Yeah. Like this. I really don't have anything other than that.
Yeah. All right.
Today, I am telling you about John Darwin.
Oh, right.
You don't know it though, right?
No, but Rebecca's been talking about it this week and was like, just don't Google it. I'm like, I never do. I don't know why you think. Just because I knew about Ashley Reeves. Mm. Now you're all nervous.
Well, you can't be trusted.
Mm.
Sources. The Guardian. Case notes from the trial. BBC. GazetteLive.co.uk. And The Telegraph. 51-year-old John Darwin and his wife Anne lived in Seton Carew, United Kingdom. He was a math and science teacher for 18 years before actually leaving that job and becoming a prison officer at HM Prison Home House, which is a Category C men's prison.
That's quite the switch of a career.
It really is.
Why?
I don't know. I think he just kind of got bored of teaching. I don't know.
Wow.
In the UK, the level of security is categorized from A to D. A being highest level of security, D being the lowest level. So being a C prison means lower risk inmates. No murderers are in here or anything like that. I think they're all, you know, petty crime, drug charges, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Anne was a doctor's office receptionist. So they both made a modest salary, but actually made some money with their real estate side gig. Since getting married in 1973, they built a pretty cushy property portfolio and had about 12 houses they rented out. They bought one with the address 3 The Cliff in Seton Carew, which is the chicest address I've ever heard.
Oh.
Right?
Sure.
3 The Cliff.
Send it to me at 3 The Cliff.
Exactly. And they decided they would make this their primary home. It's a 7-bedroom Victorian-style townhouse, and it overlooks the ocean. But oddly enough, it actually wasn't on a cliff. I street viewed it on Google.
Oh.
It is beautiful.
Well, it sounds
and again,
beautiful.
On the ocean, but no cliff. And they also own the one next door for the cliff.
Loving it.
I know. But I don't. At this time, no one was renting that one out. They had two sons, 28-year-old Mark and 25-year-old Anthony. Let's go ahead and get the Mark Anthony reference out of the way.
There wasn't going to be a reference, but I just pictured him, obviously.
Yeah, he flashed in your head. Well,
yeah, he flashed in my head.
Listeners' heads, too. Mark Anthony. I know. They were both living elsewhere, so John and Anne were empty nesters and living the dream. John loved kayaking and had a red one he named the Orca, which he took out on the morning of March 21st, 2002. A lot of sources refer to this as a canoe, but I've seen a picture of it, and in America, we at least call it a kayak. I'm not sure if around the world y'all use it interchangeably, but it's a kayak, FYI. Anne went to work, and when she got home, John wasn't there, but she knew he had a night shift at the prison, so she wasn't really worried about it until later that evening when either the prison called her or she called the prison to talk to John. I'm not sure really which one happened, but either way, they told her that he never made it into work and hasn't called anyone to let them know why. She immediately became worried and around 9:30 p.m. called the police to report her husband missing, and a huge search was launched. They searched throughout the night, covering a 62-square-mile area, but couldn't find him or anything. their neighbor, Howie Ralston, I think that's how you say it, said he saw John taking his kayak out on the water early that morning, and he was going in the direction of the River Tee, which is one of the busiest shipping channels in the UK. So a kayak wouldn't stand a chance. And they even thought he could have potentially been sucked into a ship's propellers.
Oh, God.
I know. You've seen the Titanic. Those things are big.
Yes, it was the 112th anniversary yesterday. Thank you so much for mentioning it.
Oh, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Happy 112th anniversary for those who celebrate.
We're thinking of you.
We're thinking of you. Did you cry? I cried.
Right, just a thing with the Titanic. I think we've mentioned it, but
I'm just a historian when it comes to it. I just love it. I'm just fascinated by it. I do not cry on the anniversary, though. Don't let her fool you.
So they thought potentially he was in the propeller. But either way, they resumed their search at 5 a.m. the next morning and had 6 rescue boats, a helicopter, a search plane, and a Navy warship. So they pulled out all the stops for the search.
Yeah, really.
At the time, their older son, Mark, was living in London, which is about a 5-hour drive from Anne, and he dropped everything and rushed home. And he said when Anne saw him, she collapsed in his arms and cried for hours.
Oh.
Mark called his younger brother, Anthony, who was actually in Canada on holiday or vacation with his girlfriend, and he was planning to propose that weekend. Mm. How awful is that?
That is.
Very excited about an engagement, and you get the worst news of your life.
Yeah, sad.
Obviously, with the unexpected turn of events, he aborted the proposal plan and rushed home to be with his family. John's siblings were there, grandparents, everyone. Mark and Anthony stayed with Anne for a few weeks because of how worried they were about her. All day, every day, she would just sit and stare at the wall. She wouldn't eat. She wouldn't drink. She wouldn't sleep. They tried to make her feel better, reminding her that his body has not been found. He could very well be alive, and he was a very experienced kayaker and could be out there. And it made her hopeful for a second, but I think ultimately she knew better. Plus, yeah, she said while he was experienced kayaker, he never conquered the Eskimo roll, which is what you do to get right side up again if your kayak capsizes.
I hate.
Oh, God, my first time in a kayak, I was at my friend's lake house, and they put me in that dumbass skirt, which is that thing that, you know, traps you into a kayak.
Traps you.
And my dumbass friend from high school, she's like our best friend to this day. So my dumbass friend.
She was a dumbass this day.
She was a dumbass this day. And she jumped on my kayak and it flipped. And I had no idea what to do. I panicked.
It was scary.
It was scary. And then that dumb bitch went underwater and pulled the skirt off and saved me. But they all made fun of me and for being dramatic because apparently I was only underwater for like 5 seconds. But it was terrifying.
Oh,
count
God.
To 5 seconds when you're trapped in a death boat underwater. Screw all you.
It was scary. I saw the whole thing. And I'm Team Rebecca on this one.
Right.
It was terrible. So anytime there's a kayak involved, that skirt is staying on land. That skirt's not going on the kayak.
Look, I'm not a professional. I was like in the lake at my leisure. There wasn't a wave inside. I mean, come on.
No.
Ugh.
No one needed that skirt. No one needs any skirt.
For an experienced kayaker, I would think that dumbass Eskimo roll that everyone can do would be a crucial skill to know.
But yeah.
What do I know? I know nothing because I too almost died in one. See, I'm not dramatic.
No. No, you are not.
Search and rescue teams continued to look for him every day for over 2 months. And in May 2002, police divers were searching a rocky area a few miles away and found his paddle floating.
Oh, no.
Obviously, not good news. If you're in a kayak without your paddle, you're at mercy of the sea. So not very promising.
God, and they're on the ocean.
Right.
It's not good.
Mm-mm. I think after this, the search efforts kind of subsided and pleas to the public for any information were ramped up. A few weeks went by and a portion of his kayak was found.
Oh,
it wasn't the whole thing.
No.
It somehow broke, but Anne was able to identify it as John's. And that piece of the kayak became the family's only closure. I know.
Sad.
I know. At this point, she was just hoping to find his body so they could give him a proper funeral and start moving on. But because they hadn't, she would have days allowing herself like a what if he's out there and become hopeful. Then she would be heartbroken all over again when the reality of how unlikely that is would hit her. It's just, you know, constant gut punch.
Yeah.
Then August 2002, over 5 months later, a body was found off the coast of Hartlepool. I wonder if I'm saying that right. I think I am.
Let us know.
Let us know. And the police called Anne to come identify it. She, Mark, and Anthony were all going together. But before they did, the liaison officer she was working with on the case called and said they already identified the man and he was not John.
Oh.
And Anne apparently lost it. She broke down to the police officer yelling that she just wanted to lay her husband to rest. Like, she was disappointed. It wasn't.
Yeah, no, I get that.
On the first anniversary of his disappearance, they had a mini ceremony. Anne threw roses into the sea and kept one by her bed. Her and her sons were having a very hard time. Anthony would spend hours Googling for any bodies that may have been found in this giant ocean.
I mean, just
anything to try to help. Yeah. You know, that's, yeah.
Right.
They relied on the public to bring information, which didn't bring shit. So in April 2003, a year after the accident, he's declared legally dead. But think of Anne being in that big house overlooking the ocean all the damn time. Couldn't stand it. Right. So in 2006, she told Mark and Anthony she was going to move to Panama. She said it's fun, it's Catholic, and they speak Spanish. Fun and Catholic.
Catholic, and they speak Espanol. I gasped because I thought you were going to say, like, one day she was looking out at the ocean.
Oh, my God.
I don't know why. Okay. Damn. So, all right.
All right.
Adios, Anne.
Hola, Panama. She first visited in 2005 and immediately fell in love with it, the people, everything. And as a widow, she needed to start her new life.
Good
so
for
she
her.
Sold, I know. They were supportive, too. She sold a couple of properties and moved down there. I think it's like £700,000. So,
yeah.
A nice cushy start of the new life. And again, Anthony and Mark fully supported her. And then a year later, in December of 2007, she gets a call from Mark. And it was 1 a.m. in England. So she gets a sinking feeling. She picked up the phone and immediately asked, "Why are you calling me this late?" And he said, "Mom.
Oh, my God.
I'm sitting here with Dad."
No, you're not. Mm-hmm. No, you are not, young man.
Yes, he is. And he said, "JK, haha," and hung up.
He said, "LOL, JK, bye."
Can you imagine? Mark would never do that. So in 2007, 6 years after the accident, a disheveled man walked into a police station in the UK and told them he thought he was a missing person. He remembered his name was John Darwin and not much else. His very last memory was a cruise he took to Norway in 2000. 2 years before the accident.
And they really did go on a cruise to Norway?
Yeah, yeah. Police were able to track down his son since they were still living in the UK. And they came down, and Mark and Anthony came down to the police station to identify him, confident it was not him. But when they saw him, they let out a huge, "Oh my God," and bursted into tears.
Holy
so emotional.
Shit.
I know. When they called Anne, they were still at the police station, and the cops told her he remembers nothing at all about being missing. Then she spoke to John directly, and she said he sounded a little strange, but it was definitely him. She said, there I was, speaking to my husband. It was a day I had always dreamed about, but never believed it would happen.
Oh.
How bad? Like, you just want to talk to the ones you've lost at least one more time, and she got
and he's
to.
Back.
And more than once, he's back.
Oh, my God.
John went home with Anthony that night while things got sorted out and while Anne prepared to fly back. But within a day, this news was everywhere. Every reporter wanted to talk to John. Not a moment to rest. Anne couldn't even take one day to process all of this before a reporter from the UK knocked on her door in Panama.
Oh, damn.
His name was David Lee. He was a reporter for The Mirror.
Oh, God. Here we go. British tabloids are ruthless. Ruthless. They have no boundaries.
Right. If I didn't source The Mirror. Okay.
All right.
Which I know a lot of people hate because it is tabloid.
I was about to say. Oh, well, we'll see.
She at first didn't answer, but he yelled through the door the reality of the situation. He said reporters will be swarming her and her family to get that first interview, and there's no way around it. So kind of like, just go ahead and give it to me and it'll die down quicker type of thing. I'm a Brit. You're a Brit. Choose me.
We're all friends here.
We're in this together. And she's like, the fuck we are. Get the hell off my property.
Yeah.
But instead of telling him to F off, she did let him in and decided to give him the interview. Because really, at this point, she knows nothing. So she's like, this will be easy.
Yeah, that would be an easy interview. What happened? Right. Don't know. Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, thank you. Follow up with me and never.
Yeah. That can all be on the record. Don't, no.
He asks about the moment she found out, and she says her son called her a couple of days ago, and she hasn't slept since. He asks what she thinks happened, and she said he must have hit his head in an accident, got amnesia, and has been lost ever since. But again, at this point, she knows nothing, and she can't make sense of it all, and there's a lot to figure out. Then he tells her he has to show her something that he found.
Oh, God.
And she's like, okay, what? And he pulls out a picture of her and John in Panama taken a year and a half prior. And no. Says, the game's up, Anne.
Oh, I... Stop it. Holy shit.
I know. And Anne looks at David and says, well, I guess this answers a lot of your questions. Little did Anne know, in that very moment, John was being arrested at their son's home for faking his own death, and soon she would be too, because she knew the entire time. Now.
Hold on.
Yeah, process it. Everyone sit for a second. Let's let it sink. Let's sit on it.
Well, Mirror, you did your thing.
Look at Mirror.
Look at Mirror doing their thing. Okay. Sometimes no boundaries get shit done.
Right. Now, let's go back, because this is insane. First of all, John and Anne were up to their ears in debt with all these properties. Apparently, they charged rent that didn't cover their mortgage, which...
Come on. You don't have to be like Mark Cuban business mindset to know that that's not good.
No.
Not a good plan. Not a good strategy.
My two-year-old knows better.
Right.
And to me, there seems like a very rational option to get out of this is to just freaking sell them. But they decided to take the easier route and have John fake his own death and to collect life insurance money, and he live in hiding for the rest of his life. Sure, she got more with him dead.
She what?
She got more money with him dead, but not like groundbreaking.
Oh, okay.
She got his pension from his teaching job, pension from his prison job, and a bereavement grant, which all totaled about £250,000, which is about $315,000 USD.
Mm.
But here's the thing. To fake your own death, you have to be very okay not seeing anyone ever get your kids, your future grandchildren, everyone.
I was going to say, remember, the kids had no idea.
No.
Wow, really put them through it. That's
your
great.
Son was going to propose to his girlfriend that weekend. That huge moment and all future moments for them, you're okay missing for an extra £250,000? What does it say about you?
Everyone has a price.
I guess so, apparently.
It's crazy. And they own 12 properties?
Sell them.
You could have sold half of them and made way more than that.
I know. Baffling.
I'm confused.
So the day of the accident, they're not very bright. And you'll see why.
Well, that's very clear.
So the day of the accident, John posted up in the woods. He parked his canoe. I don't know how he broke it. God. Canoe. Here I am.
Right.
I don't know how. Kayaks are very durable. I do not know how the fuck he broke it, but he did. And he posted up in the woods for about 3 weeks. Then he called Anne to make sure the family members who were visiting her in her time of mourning were gone. And they weren't. So she kind of had to shuffle everyone out, including her sons, their sons. And once they're gone, she picks him up and says he grew out his beard, he lost weight, and he acquired a limp. This is his disguise. Wow. She then takes them back home where he lives, just business as usual with Anne, except he can't go outside. There's a secret door between their house and the one next door. Remember, they own four of the cliff.
Yeah.
And he sneaks through there when people come over.
I'm shook. This almost sounds not worth it.
It's not. Because he eventually goes stir crazy. He's like, what am I doing?
I mean, and she has to just put up this act. I mean, sobbing all the time.
This grieving widow.
Meanwhile, you're watching your actual family really mourn.
Oh, right.
What is wrong with you people? Everyone is the worst.
Baffling. It's baffling. Everyone's the worst. And here's why.
Well, just what we're saying. Really.
Their sons came back all the time during those first few months, and their dad was just next door. Over a year.
My God.
I know. It's just insane. Over a year into hiding, again, he got stir crazy and decided he needed to get out. I can't imagine. Think how crazy we all went during lockdown, except he can't get on social media. He can't do shit.
I mean, oh God.
So he had actually walked the streets mainly in winter so that he could bundle up and no one would recognize him. But actually someone did recognize him and even told Anne, like, I really think I saw John. He had a beard, but it really seemed to be him. And Anne was like, what? Oh no, that's his cousin visiting. They just look exactly alike.
No.
So no more going outside for you, John.
John.
So put an end to that. Like, you fucked it. You almost fucked it up.
No so, more walks for you. You
no
pace
more
the
walks
living room.
For you. That's it. So while cooped up, he started gaming online. And this is when he started chatting with a woman named Kelly Steele from Kansas. Welcome, John. After months of an emotional, not that I live in Kansas, but you know, the States.
Yeah.
After months of an emotional affair, he decided he wanted to meet her. So he walked around a cemetery to find someone who was born around the same time and found John Jones, who died at just 5 weeks old.
Oh,
sad note. His John Jones's actual family is still waiting on an apology for this, FYI.
Hey, no apology for them?
No. John thought this was the perfect identity to steal because it was the same first name, so he wouldn't have to adapt to a new name. And this quote wouldn't ruin anyone's life. No, just reopen a wound for those poor parents. But
yeah, really.
So in October 2003, 6 months after he was declared dead, he flies to Kansas to meet Kelly.
Well, wait, where does... Sorry, what's her name? What's the wife's name?
Anne. You're okay. Like, these are the most common names I've ever told a story about. John and Anne. Come on. Get it
I
together.
Know, but sorry. I just can't. So where's Anne think he's going?
I don't know. I think she kind of let... I think they were, like, kind of at each other's throats at this point. They're kind of
I bet.
I bet they are. I think
quite
she, like,
the strain.
Like, whatever. But one source did say he was looking for places they could escape and just start completely new. And he, the States was a good option. Panama was a good option. So he's like, I'm going to go see this property in the United States.
Wow.
He told Kelly that his wife died of cancer and that he always wanted to be a cowboy. Just a 60-year-old British cowboy. You know the type.
Then go for it.
Uh-huh. He persuaded Kelly to buy a 20-acre ranch in her name using £25,000 he sent her. And she did it. But during this visit, where they met the first time, something happened that she didn't like and she kicked him out. And I read somewhere that he was changing in his room, and her guest room, with the door open. And she walked by and saw everything and yelled at him for being inappropriate and kicked him out. But a few things on this. It's like, it was an emotional affair, which leads me to believe it would have been intimate in person. So I'm confused why that would be a big deal. But yeah. Maybe she found him repulsive meeting in person and just used this as an excuse. But get out. Inappropriate.
Maybe on her end, it wasn't an emotional affair. Like, maybe they were just friends and he, in his head, it was like very intimate. Emotional affair. He's in love. And she's like, no, I thought I was just chatting. No, get out.
No,
of here.
But I think there was like sex. I think it was sexy chats.
Oh, sexy time.
It's like, I think they're down to clown.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know.
So
maybe
don't know.
She doesn't like that.
Maybe. But, I mean, you got to know that's inappropriate. You just bought a property in your name with his money. Come on.
Yeah.
But she did keep that money and ran with it.
Oh.
She moved her own family into that house that John persuaded her to buy with his money.
Oh, how well, maybe she had kids in the house then.
Oh yeah, maybe and
he's
maybe that,
and he's leaving the door open, changing. That's the problem. I was thinking when you said he convinced her to buy that property with money he sent her. I'm like, sounds like she's about to come out on top.
She did. The swindler got swindled by Kelly from Kansas.
What did he expect? I mean, come on, he really put himself in that sitch.
What an idiot! See, not very bright. Example number one of 97,000.
That's not the first example, but go on.
I know. He demanded his money back and sent her threatening emails. He said he had mob connections in New York, that he would kill her family. So many emails that she told him she was going to contact the FBI. And he was like, all right.
Wait, yeah.
Hold on.
No one needs
How
that.
How about this? You keep my money and you'll never hear from me again. Bye. Don't call the police.
All right. We'll go on to plan B. Plan B is you win.
Don't call the police.
Please do not do that.
Have a nice life. Do not call the police.
Do not call the authorities.
Kelly later said he was the creepiest, oddest, most frightening man she had ever met.
Oh,
I'm like, well, And yet you weren't scared enough to not steal his money. So that's good.
That is good.
So he went back to the UK and told Anne they should move to Panama instead. Like, yeah, he's like, states aren't going to work out.
Well, let's not do the states. States bad, Panama good.
Panama good. Which is when those wheels were put into motion. She went in 2005 with them, which came back to Anthony and Mark and was like, I loved it. I may move there. You know, they utilized a service called Move to Panama to help them find property
what do they
to
do?
Buy. I don't know. It's one of those vague websites. They use movetopanama.com to help them find property to buy. And it's actually this realtor who took their picture that got them caught. It's in his office and he put it on the website as a promotion of like, people relocate from all over to Panama type of spiel. Right there on the website.
So Anne and John knew they were getting their picture taken. They're like, smile for
it? Yeah.
Oh, man. Example Oy 400.
Vey Darwins.
Darwins.
Just Darwinism. Anne Darwin and her boyfriend, John Jones.
Okay.
Right. It's not John Jones.
Interesting.
Get your shit together, people. They purchased a large plot of land in the jungle where they wanted to build a tourist park, kind of like a smaller scale Disney, which you're in over your heads again. This is what, look.
This is what started the whole thing.
The whole
with thing. With plans like this. Don't
stay
do
away
that.
From real estate. It's not your thing. You don't know what you're doing. If there's a huge plot of land in the jungle that's undeveloped, there's probably a reason. Just stop it. You're enough.
Cut it out.
You don't have the money. He also didn't speak Spanish and would tell locals they're stupid for not speaking his language.
Okay.
Doesn't that just tell you everything you need to know about him?
You're my country, bitch.
Right. Like, I know exactly what this guy's like. He's the one at the dinner party, like, making the stupidest, cringiest comments.
Yeah.
Ugh. Constantly nervous laughing around this guy.
Oh,
like,
God.
What an idiot.
You're like, I just don't want to, like, set it off or...
Right.
So I'm just going to smile.
And also, yeah, they're the stupid ones. I haven't read about anyone else allowing a realtor to put their picture on a homepage of his website when they're supposed to be dead.
Yeah. Who's the stupid one
now? So if
you
can believe it, the tourist park idea fell through.
Oh, no.
Why?
Why? What happened?
They don't have the money. It's the thing. And on top of that, a new visa law was put in place that said in order to live in Panama as a foreign national, you had to get a letter from your local police back home to verify your identity, prove you had no criminal record, and essentially that you're in good standing.
Oh, that's not going to work. They're probably
that's
like,
not
okay,
gonna
not
work.
A problem.
Anne could do this. John obviously could not, which is where he came up with this whole amnesia plan. According to Anne, he genuinely thought that everyone would be too happy and excited to ask any questions or look into it.
Oh.
Are you new?
No, the opposite, especially, I'm telling you, with the British tabloids, they will figure it out.
Or humans in general. Have you ever met a modern day human? We are all internet sleuths.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, it was a random, it wasn't even the Mirror who broke the story wide open, actually. It was a random anonymous woman who Googled the words John Anne Panama. And now that very famous picture came up on Google. Image number one. She then forwarded it to the UK police and later said she heard the story and was skeptical and thought there had to be something more about them. So she just took it up with her computer. Because that's what we do, John. We Google everything.
That's true.
Just sit here and accept a baffling mystery? We just here and wonder like a cave person?
No one is doing that.
Everyone's wondering
anymore. Exactly what happened. And especially how you broke that damn kayak.
Right. Because this is baffling. Oh my God. There's no such thing as wondering anymore. Come on. You're an idiot. Idiot example number 75.
For real.
Which also sucks for this anonymous person. Because can't you just say, I bet she got all cozied up. Maybe got a big cup of coffee. All excited to play detective and fall into a rabbit hole. And after her first Google search, it's over.
She's like, solve that one. What else?
What else can I do?
I took all this Adderall. Now I don't know what to do with it.
Exactly. Now I don't know what else to do with it.
Wonder if CC Moore needs me to dig into any social media.
So anyway, once John was arrested and the reporter presented that picture to Anne, she willingly got on a plane back to the UK and was arrested when she landed at the Manchester airport.
God.
Anne Darwin is charged with 15 counts of money laundering and deception. John Darwin faced an additional charge relating to his fake passport and pled guilty and was sentenced to 6 years and 3 months in prison. Essentially, almost the amount of time he was missing for.
Yeah.
Anne pleaded not guilty, claiming marital coercion, but it didn't work. And she was sentenced to 6 years, 6 months, 3 months longer than John.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They think it's because she pled not guilty.
Yeah.
Like if she just pled guilty, she's gonna,
yeah. If you leave it up to a jury, it's not going to go in your favor. Sometimes it will.
Yeah. Some people do think she was coerced and just got in too deep and feel bad for her. I can see how people think that because she really didn't seem to care about money. She didn't grow up with much, but very happy childhood. She was very happy living her modest life as a receptionist. So there wasn't motive. It really does seem like she just did what her husband wanted, which is a horrible spot to be in. But I'm not sure. I can't get all the way there on that sympathy train.
No.
For Anne.
Not watching your two sons, especially exactly. go through this and still having to put on like the sad grieving widow bit. No,
right.
Sorry.
Seeing like the pure devastation, like their world crumbled.
Oh, and my God.
I know. And Mark and Anthony are pissed. They both made public statements about not wanting anything to do with them. Quote, yeah. It's bewildering. It's as if our whole life has been a lie. They have tarnished all the good times even before this. I can't ever forgive them for putting us through the torment of mourning. They were in it together and they deserve the sentences that was handed to them. They are just as bad as each other. Dad told one lie and disappeared, but she lied for 6 years. She was the face of the lie. She dragged us through hell, forcing a court case. They trampled over our lives for money. Then they called Anne a hideous, lying bitch.
Whoa!
Oddly enough, they have since reconciled.
Oh, they have?
With Anne, not John. We'll get there.
Oh, okay. Oh, whatever makes these two happy. I don't know.
Right.
They're you want to reconcile
all of this?
Do it.
Mm-hmm. In prison, John told his inmates he would make millions off this story, which didn't happen.
Please stop.
I mean, you can't profit off your crime, you dipshit.
Some places you can.
Oh, UK is not one of them. Well, he did sell the letters Anne wrote to him to the tabloids for a quick buck. So he's so grimy. And needless to say, the love was no longer there and they got divorced in prison.
Oh, no.
Why?
A love story that sours? Oh.
She and the reporter, David Lee, did end up writing a book. So I guess she made a buck off her crime. Maybe you can in the UK.
Did she have restitution? Maybe they took it all.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I should know, shouldn't I?
I don't know. Do we have any, like, international law experts out there? Or UK? Well, or if you're a lawyer in the UK, that would do.
Yeah, that would do. No, I don't think we do, because remember Natalie's episode, I needed to know all about the Netherlands law. And no one helped me.
And none of y'all stepped up. And we haven't forgotten it.
We forgive you. We will not forget you.
Yeah.
Whatever. During Anne's stint in jail, Mark did visit her once. Apparently, it was a, quote, stiff conversation, which I take it to mean service level, formal, didn't hug it out. Then Anthony visited her and brought his wife and newborn baby that Anne didn't know existed.
Ouch.
Mm-hmm. How gut-wrenching you think that was? You felt guilty before? Look, here's a baby whose birth you missed. Your first grandchild's birth you missed.
Yeah.
So.
Ooh. Ouchie.
But as they often do, babies soften people up. Hatred has subsided. People tend to unite for the sake of those babies. So even in bad marriages, y'all, if you have a rocky marriage, just have a baby. That's the point of the story.
Advice from Rebecca. From Rebecca. That was Rebecca who gave that advice.
I want to make it the road easier, not harder.
Totally.
But this opened the door for reconciliation with her. After about 3.5 years, John was released in January 2011, and Anne was released in March of 2011. John moved to Manila and married a Filipino woman 23 years younger than him, who he met online. This is where he lives today, and I gotta say, during his interrogation, he said he went to the UK police and claimed amnesia, not because of Panama's new visa law, but because he couldn't stand not seeing his kids anymore, which was clear bullshit, because the moment he was released, he moved to another country and has pretty much not spoken to them since. He has never met his grandchildren, and he has 4 of them now. So, good riddance. Peace out. Whatever.
Oh, wow.
Anne moved to a small village outside of York and works at an animal shelter. Mark was the first son to come around. but they really had to talk things out. And at the beginning of all this, when they thought John was dead, Mark would often go to his mom's house and sob about everything, like pure devastation over the loss. And one of his first questions to Anne after her release was whether his dad was standing on the other side of the wall during those visits. And she had to say yes.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine facing that reality? Like, that's why I can't get on the sympathy train, obviously.
I can't. Sorry, I can't. Good for him for reconciling. I mean, honestly. No way.
No. I feel bad for her. I do think she's held herself responsible. She's taken accountability. I'm kind of okay with Anne at this point. But watching your kid cry in pure pain over his father's death when in reality he steps away from him.
Oh, God.
This was the moment where you had a decision to make. Her children or her husband. And she chose. And she chose incorrectly. Mm-hmm. Sorry. And while he's forgiven her, while Mark's forgiven her, it's shit like this he said he will never forget. He has two kids now. So does Anthony. Anthony was harder to come around because on top of everything else, she pleaded not guilty. To him, a trial was one more thing she put them through that could have been avoided. So fair. Such a valid point.
Like, yeah, just plead guilty. Very fair.
Right. So it was one more thing they had to go through. But over time, as the boys got married, started having their own kids, they wanted them to have a grandmother. So they at first kept her at an arm's length and then invited her to Christmas so she wouldn't be alone. And now they say there's no longer an elephant in the room. Even on rare occasions, they'll joke about it.
Good for y'all.
Good for y'all. Y'all are better than I am.
One of those, they can joke about it. She cannot.
Yeah. She has to bow her head and not smirk.
Yeah. And if she has a joke about it, it's 6 more years, no contact.
Right. But even after forgiving her, both sons kept counsel in place for years afterwards.
What? They did.
Yeah, in case they needed it. Which is smart. You have no... At this point, those cops could be actors. That jail could be a rented out storage unit. Who knows?
They sound like they're more business savvy than their dumbass parents. They should have come to them for advice.
Sure. As of 2022, Mark is open to talking to his dad. Anthony is not. Can't say I blame him. John is... I'm no doctor, but I feel like John exudes characteristics of a narcissist. And if you have your own family to take care of and love, sometimes you can't be bothered with people like that. Blood relatives included.
Yeah. He doesn't reach out. Have they said that? He doesn't try anything?
I think maybe he has. I don't know.
Okay.
I think Mark's talked to him a couple times.
Wow.
So there you have it. That is the insane story of the Darwins. And then this whole thing got me in a rabbit hole of some other interesting stories. Do you remember Olivia Newton-John's boyfriend?
Yes.
I never knew what happened to him. Did you?
He was missing for a long time.
Well, I knew that. I remember breaking news. He's missing
at
sea.
Was there a boat? He was going to Catalina or something? He was on a boat, right?
Oh, there you go, right? Well,
really?
Let me explain it to you, people.
Oh, okay.
Patrick McDermott was a cameraman who disappeared on June 30th, 2005, while on an overnight fishing trip off the coast of L.A. Mm-hmm. in California. I think it was actually Catalina, but I don't remember. He dated actress Olivia Newton-John. In 2009, Dateline did a story on it. An investigator set up findpatrickmcdermott.com for anyone who had tips. And they noticed this one IP address was constantly going to the website.
Oh.
They were already a little suspicious of him, so they tracked it down and went to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, and there he was, living as Pat Kim.
What?
Allegedly. And I say allegedly because people like his ex-wife say it's mistaken identity, and they can't find him again.
Oh. Uh-huh. So Pat Kim's gone?
Pat Kim's gone. But there's a
no, I did not know that part.
Allegedly been at least 20 sightings of him since then, too, but no one can find him.
I didn't know that was... I remember him being missing.
Isn't that crazy?
I was like, that's sad. That's crazy. I love Puerto Vallarta.
I know. Me too.
Wait. Wow.
Uh-huh. So he's out there.
Has Olivia Newton-John ever spoken out about this?
Well, you know she's dead.
But I know, but she wasn't then.
She did do interviews about it. I don't know. I couldn't get in too far of a rabbit hole. I really wanted to, but we did have to do
don't
this
worry
recording.
About it. Yeah, don't worry about it. I'm already on Google, so don't worry about it.
I know. His ex-wife is like, no, he's not alive. But everyone's like, yes, he is. And
how did
investigators of Dateline are like, yes, he is. He was apparently in debt and he just wanted to run away from it.
Yeah. How did they find Pat Kim in Puerto Vallarta and then he slipped away again? Okay. And are there pictures of him? Did they show the ex-wife? Like, how is she so certain?
I think people have taken pictures of him. That's also on Google. You're just going to have to look it up.
Don't worry about it.
Oddly enough, Patrick McDermott wasn't my story today. It was John Darwin. But
well, you can't just drop this bomb and then be like, I don't know, Google it. That's my next story. My next story, I'm going to be like, I'm going to tell you all about this.
Patrick McDermott.
Like, literally one sentence, and then be like, Google the rest. And then we're going to put 15 ad breaks in it.
Don't y'all love that? I don't know how he slipped away. Apparently, it's not illegal to just run away. You can do it. Your debt's piling up. But if Dateline investigators found him and he said, no, it's not me. Remember, there's a documentary being like, are you the guy you told who jumped out of the plane?
Oh, D.B. Cooper.
D.B. Cooper.
Say the guy living in San Diego?
Exactly.
I was convinced.
So they're like, are you him? No. Okay, bye. Like, I don't know. They can't do much with it. Apparently, only illegal when you start cashing out on it. So, and I don't, to my knowledge, think he has. He's just like, it's like just one big argument of whether he's alive or whether he's not. Kind of like D.B. Cooper.
Cashing out on it, like collecting insurance and
doing shit like that.
But you can just run away from debt legally. Like, I know an adult
Pat Kim's his birth name. Patrick McDermott's a stage name. So he's like, he's not stealing anyone's identity. So I'm like,
right. You can just run away from your debts? Great. Everyone with student
loans. Yeah, I do it every month.
Just stop. true.
Ask my Barclay card. I do it every month.
Hey, that's good advice. If you have student loans, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Hey, I definitely run. Ask Sally Mae. God damn. A detective who solely investigates people who fake their death, which, epic job, was on, but I think... What?
They only investigate people suspected of faking their deaths?
Yes.
How do you know? Oh my God, that's interesting. I wonder what the...
How crazy is that?
What the rate of, like, investigations he's given? What's the rate of, they're faking their death?
Oh, that'd be interesting. It's on his website, and I can't remember his name, but he's on the episode of Phoebe Judge's Criminal about this. And they said the best way to do it, she's like, so how would you, like, if you were to give advice on someone who wants to fake their death, how would they do it? Because the two experts on there were like, everyone always goes lost at sea and they think it's a good idea because the ocean's a big place, and it's not. It's actually highly suspicious. The way to do it.
Oh, okay.
Is to go on a hike. It's open-ended. No one knows what happened. You could die of exposure, a wild animal, drowning, a fall. No one knows. It's way too open-ended. And they also said men are way more likely to fake their death than women, which is interesting.
No,
that kind of makes sense.
Makes sense.
I actually don't know how they know that. I guess women are just better at it. Men are the ones who get caught. So they're like, men do it. I'm like, maybe women do it too. We're just flap our gums about it.
Yeah, we don't get caught.
We don't take pictures on a fucking website for a website.
Well, Anne does. Anne Darwin does.
Well, she that wasn't faking her death.
Oh, right. That is so
interesting. Go on a hike, people.
Just advice after advice from Rebecca.
Ditch your debt. Advice after good advice.
If you're having marital issues, throw a baby into the mix and go on a hike if you want to fake your death.
That's it. And be sure you're okay with not talking to your loved ones again, because he said that's how people get caught. They contact someone. Their mother on their birthday is the example we gave. People call their mother on their birthday every year, and they think that the mother's not going to tell anyone, but people around them are like, who is she on the phone with? And they get suspicious, and they are not loyal to you. So they will go to the authorities.
Yeah, and now your mom's wrapped in on this, and you just sent her into a tailspin on her birthday.
Dick.
Oh, my God. This is...
Isn't
crazy.
Fascinating.
It's reminiscent of another case we've covered before, but I won't say the name because I know people start with new and work their way back, and I do not want to ruin that one.
That was a solid.
Oh, God, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. So something to look forward to if you don't know what I'm talking about.
And you only have 100 episodes to listen to figure it out.
You'll figure it out.
You'll figure it out. Crazy, huh?
Wow.
Patrons. Candace, Haley, Rachel, Fiona, Katie, Johanna, Claudia, JJ, and MK. Welcome, everyone.
Wow. Hey, thank y'all.
Thank y'all. We have one custom shout out from Jennifer. I'd like to shout out my good friend Kyla. She's actually the one who introduced me to the podcast. Hey.
Okay,
hey,
Kyla. You're a girl.
You're a girl, Blue. She was my work friend out of college at my first big girl job, and I've cherished our friendship ever since. She took me under her wing, and I'll forever be grateful for that. You always will. For those friends who do that.
Best so friend nice. At work.
Best friend Gotta at have work. One. Work friends. Love you, girl. We love you, too. Keep telling
for
people.
For real. Keep telling people.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank y'all. Y'all are the best.
People are the worst.
Bye-bye. Bye.